have a bunch of announcements to make. First of all, we're going to talk about the Christmas Eve services. And Maggie is going to do the 7 o'clock, and I'm going to do the 4 o'clock. So we're going to do this song and dance routine.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. For those planning on coming to the 7 p.m. service, on the behalf of the choir, I would like to invite you to consider coming 30 minutes early. We're not doing so much a concert, but a sort of lessons and carols, mostly just carols. So the choir will be singing some pieces. Megan, our organist, will be playing some pieces on the organ. And then interspersed, we'll all be singing carols together. So we would love for you to join us. I think that's it for the 7 p.m.
Okay, very good. The 4 o'clock service. It has a little bit of a design change. It's pretty simple, and we encourage families with small children to come to that service or to bring children to that service. It's going to be very child-friendly, and I want you to know that I have a rule. If you are a parent who tries to keep their child silent during worship and is pinching and nudging, I'm going to ask you to leave because I want the kids to have a good time. And it's Christmas Eve, and everybody's all worked up, so we're going to have a lot of fun at the 4 o'clock service. Invite your neighbors, anyone with children, and we will enjoy ourselves immensely. Does anyone else have any announcements they want to make? Am I missing anybody? Martha, did you? Don't anybody move their hand because I'm going to call on you. If you're comfortable in standing, please rise as we join together in confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
We keep silence for personal reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and not free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved you with our whole heart. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. Amen. Megan, before you start that hymn, I forgot two very critical announcements. I want to thank everyone who worked so hard on the children's program last week, all of the kids, all of the parents, the musicians, the director. And it was pointed out to me this morning that Michael, the glad hander, the guy who's not running for office but shakes everybody's hand all the time, this is flu season. So if you're uncomfortable when we exchange the peace with shaking hands, please, you know, do an elbow or a fist or what? Or just stay away, peace? Okay, that'll work. Just a reminder. And now let us join together with, and this is a great hymn. You know, fling wide the door. We're going to welcome the Christ child. I'm too damn enthusiastic, aren't I?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from our sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from the 7th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 10th verse. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of the Lord. The second reading is from the first chapter of Romans, beginning with the first verse. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel of our Lord from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and Joseph named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Can we have the children come forward? Need to get it. Okay, is everybody getting kind of excited about Christmas? I noticed there's some family here visiting, and do you have a Christmas tree up at your house? You do? You have one too? Good. Well, today I'm going to talk about promises, because in the readings today we heard a lot about promises. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's really hard for me to keep a promise. And sometimes, like, I will tell my husband, if he goes and cleans out the storeroom in the basement, I'm going to make him chocolate chip cookies. And he goes and he cleans the storeroom, but sometimes I don't get that done. And I'm betting that sometimes your mom or dad tells you to sit quietly in church, and you say, "I promise, I'll do that." But then after a while, there's a brother or sister that you can poke without anybody watching. Or you suddenly think of something that's kind of funny and you laugh. Or maybe you want to stand up in the pew and look around a little bit. Do you ever do that, Rowan, sometimes? So it's really hard to keep promises. But today, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we heard about promises. And we heard that thousands of years before Jesus was born, God was promising that Jesus would be born and that he would be born just for us. And all of you were in a program last week showing us that and reminding us all about that. And then there was another promise that Pastor Brecky read about, where an angel came to Mary and Joseph and said they were going to have a healthy baby boy. And even though it might be hard to get to where they had to be to have that baby, and that it wouldn't be a nice, clean hospital with nurses and doctors, but they would have a healthy baby boy. And that meant a lot. But the most important promise that we hear about today is that God promises to love us and to hear our prayers and to be with us and look over us for all of our lives. And that's a pretty good promise. And unlike the rest of us, he keeps his promises. Okay? Should we say our prayer today? God loves me, Jesus is my friend, and church is a great place to be.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. When you grow up in a small town, you get an intense experience of all of the human characteristics distilled, because there aren't that many competing characters. And where I grew up in northwestern Wisconsin, they have really hard, cold winters. So the folks there, at least when I lived there, had to develop some sort of indoor sports for the winter. And the primary one for many people in my hometown was gossip. My Scandinavian grandmother was an expert. She had developed it to a fine art. So what I would like to do today is just carefully look at Matthew's gospel. You know, Matthew tells a whole different story than Luke does. Luke talks about Mary, and Matthew talks about Matthew. Joseph, where am I? My head just went, I'm back home. So let's take a look at our gospel lesson and Mary and Joseph through the eyes of a small town and maybe the small town gossips. So Mary and Joseph get betrothed. They do all of the things that the law requires. They go, they sign a contract, they're pledged to each other in marriage. But before they can have the wedding, Mary finds herself pregnant. Now, Joseph has got a couple of possibilities here. Joseph can divorce her publicly and condemn her for her supposed unfaithfulness, or he can do it quietly and discreetly, which would sever the contract that they had, but Mary would still be alive, because the punishment, if she were condemned, would be stoning. So Joseph goes home and takes a nap. Well, what happens when you get in a stressful situation? Huh? Don't you want to take a nap? You want to sleep? You want to make sure that you can fall asleep and wake up and the problem's going to be gone? Well, it wasn't, because when Joseph was asleep, he had a dream. And God speaks to Joseph. And Joseph is told that he shouldn't cast Mary out. Joseph is told that he will name this baby. And Joseph obeys everything that he's told in that dream. Now, can you imagine in a town of 1,000, two very prominent people? Oh, by the way, you know, we've got all of these myths about the age of Mary and Joseph. Joseph, by the way, do you know it's always Mary and Joseph? You never hear him introduced as this is the story of Joseph and Mary. It's always Mary and Joseph, because Mary always gets top billing, and probably should. Now, in a small town, if two prominent people are betrothed to each other and they end up, the woman is pregnant beforehand, can you imagine? Huh? How many of you would be part of that kind of, did you hear about? Do you know what Mary is? Well, all over, the community was doing that. And Joseph's response is steady, it's obedient, it's loving, and it's merciful. But in our modern world, Mary gets to be the quintessential essence of what it means to be a woman. They've done all kinds of studies on this, and Mary wins hands down over any other character in human history. But we don't say the same thing about Joseph. Merciful, kind, obedient, caring. You know, they get to Bethlehem, and this is my extrapolation. It's nowhere in Scripture, so you don't have to really trust this. But Joseph is the one who's preparing the bed. You know, he's tending to the donkey. He's getting everything ready for the birth. And now the birth happens. And this is something I think we need to never forget about Joseph. He names Jesus. He names Jesus according to his dream. And Jesus, his name means he will save, he will deliver, he will open us up to the presence of God. He's named. Our lesson talks about being God with us. You see, this thing called Christmas, this incarnation, is both the presence of God in our midst, but it's also redemptive. It is, he will save. He will be God with us. And in that sense, this is the moment in human history when we are reunited with God in a way that is absolutely unimaginable. That's why Christmas has such incredible magic to it. It's about the presence of God and each and every one of us being united with that presence. So what I would like you to think about in the next couple of days, we have lots of Christmas services and we have lots of opportunity to reflect on Luke 2, 1 through 20 and all of the rest. But when you have a moment, take a step backwards and give thanks for Joseph. Joseph was the obedient one, the merciful one, the caring one, the loving one, doing all of the things that Mary needed and all of the things that God wanted him to do. Amen. And now we're going to sing our hymn of the day, which is not You have to look it up. It's 248. There's no license to print, so if you are expecting to find it in a big bulletin, it's not there. So if you're comfortable in standing, please rise as we sing together, "People Look East."
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven. He ascended at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Keeping awake as we watch for Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Hear your church, O God, as we pray for all who belong to Jesus Christ. Where the church is scorned, preserve it. Where the church is privileged, grant it humility. Lord, in your mercy. Hear your earth, O God, as we pray for its healing and care. Protect the grapevine and the mighty cedar and the mountains and the seas and all that is in them. Give life that all life may call on your name, Lord, in your mercy. Hear the nations, O God, as we pray for those who hold power and authority over people and lands. Help those who create and uphold good laws and those working to reform what is unjust, that the world may better reflect your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Hear those in need, O God, as we pray for all who face uncertainty, refugees and immigrants, those who are imprisoned, and those without work, housing, food, or health care. Bring good news to all in need of hope, especially those who we name before you now, either in silence or aloud. Lord, in your mercy. Hear this community of faith, O God, as we pray for families and friends who gather in this season, for travelers and hosts, and for those who will work or serve others this Christmas. Let the peace of Emmanuel, God with us, shine in every heart. Lord, in your mercy. Hear all who mourn, O God, as we remember the lives of our beloved dead. Encourage the living to learn from our ancestors in faith as we follow your call. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. You hear the cries of our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hopeful expectation that in each day and hour we may love and serve our neighbors. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Also with you.
Please, do you want to shake my hand? You don't have to.
Thank you.
through our offering.
Let us pray.
Giver of every good thing, we set before you the gifts that you have already given to sustain our lives and to share with others. Help us to be good stewards of the earth and all that is in it, and let our lives be a testimony to the abundant feast you prepare for all who hunger. Amen.
As part of our Eucharistic prayer today and the words of institution, we're going to bless the communion visitors, communion kits, and the visitors themselves. We send you out into our community to share communion. May you carry the prayers of all of us as you take this sacrament of Christ's presence. May those who receive it be strengthened and encouraged in that community we have together in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of this congregation, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, and those to whom you may go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. With whom will you share this communion? We are many, but we are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by this glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same manner also, when the meal was finished, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are God's gifts for you, God's people. Come and receive them, for this table has been prepared just for you. All are welcome. You are to have loving parents, and what a great gift you are to this church.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we give you thanks that in this holy meal you have invited us to feast with you and one another. May the taste of your love remain with us, and may our words and our work in your name invite others into your bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious coming of Christ our Savior. Amen.
And now may God, who gathers us in love, lead us in pathways of righteousness and justice. May God, who knows us more deeply than we know ourselves, lead us in pathways of forgiveness and freedom. May God, who fills us with good things, lead us in pathways of equity and abundance. And now may the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon us and remain with us now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We join together in our sending hymn, which is Mary's hymn, "My Soul Proclaims Your Greatness, O God."